symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
As cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are back for another episode of The Snake Pit. And of course, I'm here with the man who was just there for Sting's last match, the legendary Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, what's going on, my man?
Oh, man, what a weekend. What a weekend. What a show.
Yes, oh, it was.
16,000 people. They were with it, man. They were really with it. And every match was great. Bar none.
There was not a stinker on the card, and buddy, it was a pretty significant event. Sting got a send off that pretty much anybody would dream of getting to have. Anything you want to say about Sting and his kind of ride off into the sunset here?
Oh, man, I'm jealous of the way he got to ride off. What a send off, man! The only thing missing was a ticker tape parade, but they got pretty close to that at the end. So, you know, it was something to see, something to be a part of. I'm glad I was there. It was great seeing some of the old timers, you know, like Steamboat and a few others. And DDP was there. So it was good. It was really, really good. The only thing that kind of cast a shadow on it is, you know, we lost a couple of guys. You know, old Lee Anderson, hard nosed as that old prick was. And he was tough. Oh my God, he was tough. And he was a gnarly bit to deal with, but I dealt with it. I got through it. And of course, Virgil. You know, That was a tough one to take too, man. But they're in a better place now, and you know, you just never know when it's your time. So enjoy whatever you got, and remember, you don't know when it's your time.
Man, that's exactly right. And, you know, Virgil is, you know, it's such a sad story, especially how things kind of started to go for him there later on in his life. And, you know, prayers up for him. Ole, I know that you didn't always see eye to eye with him, but, you know, he's one of those guys. He's a trailblazer in professional wrestling, and that can never be taken away. As far as Virgil's concerned, Jake, any fun, memorable interactions that you had with him you want to share with the audience?
Oh, my God, man. Poor Virgil. Virgil was for DiBiase. He had to take whatever the babyface wanted to give because Ted wasn't going to. He's a million-dollar man. So that meant I got to put the stake on Virgil. And, of course, I had Snake lick his face, which freaked him out. Then one night I decided, what the hell? Let's see what happens. And I shoved the snake down his pants. That snake crawled all the way out the end. Then I got in the tug of war trying to pull it out. And Virgil was pissed, man. He was pissed.
Oh my God, just amazing. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, a guy who I know he was like DiBiase's lackey, and you know, you also hear a lot of people kind of poke fun at him over the years just because he's like, you know, he never really rose to the pinnacle of wrestling. But you know, it's being able to work in the WWF for as long as he did and make a stable income from it. It's, man, that's a pretty big win in my eyes.
He went to WCW too, so
yep.
Yeah, nobody can mark that off, you know, is a nothing deal. He had a job at both places, you know, one for Virgil, one for Vincent.
Man, the guy did okay for himself over the years, and he's got a legacy that's never going to go away. So rest in peace to Virgil, Ole Anderson, and congratulations to Sting on the end of his career. Pretty incredible stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, Jake, this week we are taking, finally, finally, we are taking a look back to AAA. It was about a year ago the last time that we talked about AAA, and we kept telling everybody, yeah, we're gonna get to it down the road here. Well, the day has finally come, guys, and brother, there's a lot to discuss, so we better get to it. August 29th, 1993, you're in San Diego, and you're in a pretty notable match. The opponents are Conan, Octagon, and Cien Caras. And Jake, you are paired up with Love Machine, who I think fans might know better as Art Barr, and a young Eddie Guerrero with DDP as your manager. Jake, let's start out with Art Barr. He was close friends with Roddy Piper and was said to be a fantastic performer who was on his way to superstardom when he would pass away just about a year after this in 1994. And he had some weird stuff go on, man. After pleading guilty to rape in exchange for probation, a fine and community service, and a conviction for possession of cocaine, he began working south of the border as a tag team partner with Eddie and had great success up until his death. Jake, he sounds like a pretty complicated guy, and I know that you worked with him and Eddie on a few occasions. What can you tell us about Art Barr?
Well, he had a past that was troubled, man. We all make mistakes. You know, I'm not there to judge him. I was there to work. And nobody can take that away from him. He was a hell of a worker, man, and a high flyer, too. You know, at the time, Eddie and him both were flying. They had to. They were in Mexico. So one night, I remember in particular, I think it was San Diego. After the match, I came back to the locker room, and I exploded. I started throwing chairs, cursing, you know, fuck this bullshit. I'm not putting up with this. A chunk of chair. I was ripping off my clothes. I fucking ain't putting up with this crap. And Eddie and them are like freaking out. What the fuck, Jake? What's wrong? I'm not putting up with it. It's bullshit, man. And in comes the boss, and he sees this. And he's like, holy fuck, you know, he don't know what to do. So finally, I walk up to him and I said, look, man, you promised me that I'd have good tag team partners. These guys don't bump enough. So he looked at them and said a bunch of shit in Spanish and their head dropped. And they, after he left, they said, fucking Jake, you fucking asshole. Fly like fucking pigeons now. I told they were taking low bumps.
That's right. We need some top rope, down to the outside type bumps. Let's do it, guys. Hey, speaking of bumps down to the outside, look, we didn't mention this. Darby Allin took a hell of a bump there through glass off of a ladder to the outside of the ring. Did you see that bump, Jake?
No, I didn't.
Brother? No. So they had like chairs set up and like a sheet of glass. Darby's up on a ladder and he's doing like a swanton to try to hit one of the Young Bucks. They move, of course. He goes right through the sheet of glass. So he's coming off of a ladder that's in the ring down to the outside and flat backing through glass. It's holy shit, man. Spectacular stuff, but I worry about that young guy.
He goes above and beyond, man. He's that close to being suicidal, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. You know, that's how he lives. You know, and he's getting the most out of it. I was telling him that for sure. Nobody can poke a hole in his shit.
I just hope he's walking by the time he's 50 years old. So maybe dial it back a little bit, Darby. But anyways, back to 93. Let's move on to Eddie. His legacy speaks for itself. He's widely considered one of the most gifted wrestlers of all time. What can you tell us about being around Eddie during these kind of early days for him?
Oh, Eddie was stuck up to me like a dog smelling meat, man. He wanted to hear what I had to say, man. So I talked to Eddie quite a bit back in those days, man, about working, you know. How to do things that make him mean more, you know, and, you know, the tricks of the trade I shared with him. And, you know, because I'd wrestled with his brothers, you know. Christ, man. I'd been with them too, you know. But Eddie was the one. He was the one. Hector and those guys, they could wrestle, they could do their thing. But Eddie was the one. He was a gift. Very gifted young man and making the most of things. He really did. the working down there, man, was always an experience because the fans down there, they took shit seriously. You know?
Yes, they did.
And the lack of security. Of course, it's kind of hard to secure anything when you got 1,000 people or so trying to get to somebody. You know? It was wild and hairy, man.
Dude, terrifying stuff. You know, we discussed on the last time how you were actually trapped in the arena till 3 a.m. one night and like couldn't exactly go out and have some fun. But no. I think you'd break those rules every once in a while. We'll be talking about that here in a little bit. Jake, there's something happened in this match in San Diego that I think that we have to at least touch on. You know, later on in Eddie's career, he's going to go on to be a babyface who cheats in his matches with WWE. So, for example, he'll throw a chair or something to Kurt Angle in the ring while the ref isn't looking and then lay down like Kurt Angle hit him. And then the ref turns around and DQs Angle, right? Yeah. You did that in this match.
Yeah.
Not with the chair, but it was like you feigned that you got a low blow in this match, and that was the DQ finish. And so it's just really interesting to note that, like, here's Eddie, who's kind of picking your brain for stuff, and in this match, you're doing stuff that he would become famous for years down the road.
Yeah. He listened. He watched. He soaked it up, and he used it. That's what he's supposed to do.
Dude, just genius stuff and such a cool little footnote here. You know, as we're talking about Eddie, Jim Duggan recently told me that he viewed those smaller guys like Eddie, Chris Benoit, Perry Saturn, etc., as having Napoleon complexes during his time with them in WCW. And certainly they were much smaller than conventional wrestlers of the era. Did you see the superstar potential in Eddie despite his lack of size?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He had it, man. He had it. Once you have it, man, you're going. You know, it's hard to derail somebody that has it. Great big IT, man. Beam.
You can tell the X factor, and Eddie damn sure had it out of the gate. Well, Jake, in September, you are off to Japan, and you're going to make 5 dates over there. You told me before that you didn't have a very pleasant experience in Japan in the early 80s, and now you're back. And listen, I also want to remind our listeners that of some of the difficulties of these overseas tours. We're talking about flight and then traveling by bus across Japan afterwards, and then varying levels of accommodations. So, like, it's safe to assume that you got a big payoff, or did you owe somebody a favor?
I got a payoff.
Okay.
Yeah, a payoff, man, because I tell you, I hate going over there. I hang up my feet, hang off the bed. Then when I wake up, my feet are asleep.
Oh, God.
And I go to stand up, and I can't stand up. You know, because my feet are just frozen. You know, they don't move.
And all that after a day of traveling and taking bumps.
Yeah, those bus trips were a little bit brutal, man.
I cannot begin to imagine how terrible that would be to sit on a bus with a bunch of fucking smelly dudes going on to the next town.
7 hours.
Oh, my God. No, thank you.
Get off in a hotel that doesn't have shitters. You got to shit in the floor. You got to shoot that little slot in the floor, you know.
Oh.
I never took classes to aim with my asshole, you know. So... sometimes I'd hit the hole, sometimes I wouldn't. Depending on what I'd ate, you know, it really screws up your belly, man, when you first go over there because you start eating completely different food than you've ever eaten before. And you get some loose shit, you know?
Yeah.
I sprayed my ankles a couple of times. What can you do?
Dude, I didn't even think about that factor. It's, man, it must have been a fantastic payoff for you to go back this time.
Yeah, it was a damn good one.
Well, you know, not for nothing, but you've also got some damn good opponents while you're over here. You're going to work with Black Cat, who's Victor Mar-Manuel, twice during this tour, and go over both times. Any memories of him or just a kind of brief interactions?
Yeah, it's brief interaction, man, really. Great worker.
Now, September 21st, 93, you've got a very interesting match in Shinzuoka. Yourself and Dean Malenko are going to team up to take on Tatsumi Fujinami and El Samurai in a winning effort. Fujinami is just 2 years removed from his title run and short stint working with Flair. Anything you can tell us about working with him, or again, kind of just passing by?
Passing through, man, touching the bases and keep going. You know, that's what it was. You know, I hate it, but that's just the way it was. You know, we just did minor little shit in the ring just to get the match through, and nothing over spectacular happened. But that's just what it was for, you know.
And that makes sense. Like, I think a lot of fans are going to say, like, oh, man, I wanted to hear what he had to say about Tatsumi Fujinami. But, like, the fact of the matter is you're here for five spots, and it's not like I'm just going to go out on a limb and say you probably weren't watching the New Japan product when you're back here in the States, right?
Not much.
I didn't think so. So it's like, what would Jake know about Tatsumi? You might, like, did you even know who he was really at the time?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you knew about his reputation, but that's about as far as it went.
Yeah, I've never seen him work.
Well, I mean, Dean Malenko, he's with you in AEW there, and a small wrestler, but wrestled like he was a lot bigger. And in just a couple of years, he's going to be voted the best wrestler of the year by PWI in 1997. What do you think about working with Dean?
Oh, I love working with Dean, man. He's old school. He's old school.
He is, and like, man, a damn good worker. He's built at 5'10", but I think he's probably a little bit closer to 5'8". I'm 5'10", and I had the pleasure of meeting him recently, and I don't think he's 5'10". But, man, what a technical marvel. Overall, grading him as a performer, I mean, I know that, you know, you're from the old school where it's like, hey, look, you better look like a big guy, a noticeable star. Dean is not that, but he's a great worker. I mean, what do you think of him in general in professional wrestling, a guy his size?
Great wrestler. He knows how to wrestle. That's the thing. I don't care if the guy's 5'7", 5'8". If he can go out there and fucking wrestle and make sense of it. Don't go out there looking like you're 6'5", or acting like you're 6'5". No. Use your advantage to help your match along. Be fast. Be quick. Be elusive. You know? Be magical. And Dean did that with his wrestling holds. I mean, he knows 1,000 holds at least.
He was the man of 1,000 holds. And he was a blast to watch. And he would tell the story. The story being, if he's wrestling a bigger guy, he's going to get you on the ground and stretch you.
Exactly it. Exactly it.
Well, look, we're about to go back to Triple H here before we do, or Triple A here, not Triple H. We're about to go back to Triple A, but before we do, I have to ask. Hogan is on this card with you in Yokohama, teaming with Muda against Hawk and Power Warrior. And fans have pointed out the major difference in Hulk's work when he would go to Japan, in that he would work a more technical style. He's bumping more and even throwing like enziguris and shit like that. Why do you think Hulk would alter his style that helped make his name in America?
Because that's not what Vince wanted. Vince wanted a certain thing done, certain moves done. Don't do that other stuff. So he didn't.
It's, man, if you guys haven't seen what we're talking about, Hulk Hogan's work in Japan, I recommend you go out of your way and check it out, because it is very weird seeing Hulk wrestle that style.
Yep.
All right, your next big moment in AAA, we've got this from the December 6th Observer. Jake Roberts and manager Sherry Martel debuted on 11/26 in Texcoco. They sat ringside at the IWC heavyweight title match with Cien Caras defending against Conan El Barbero. In the third fall, Jake and Sherry distracted the ref, allowing Caras to low blow Conan and score the pin. Roberts is scheduled to work house shows from 12/1 to 12/5. So, Jake, you referenced it last time. You've got Sherry here with you, and the two of you help Caras beat Conan. What can you tell us about the crowd reaction to you and Sherry being there?
It ape shit crazy. They went nuts, man. We had to find our way back to the locker room. Yeah. Hell, they had a guy there from, he was a concert promoter for Salt and Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there, and that dude was like 6'7", 300 pounds. Man, he got back to the locker room. He didn't have a jacket anymore. His shirt was ripped. He had stuff all over him. because they throw everything from piss to taco sauce to all sorts of at you, man. Batteries hit you with chairs. But hell, I'm right behind Sherry, man. Sherry gets in front of me. She won't let me in front. She's punching some bitches in the face, man. She's blasting them and knocking their asses down. Hell, I got mad. I didn't get to hit nobody.
Man, just tough as nails, like unlike any other female performer ever, right?
Oh yeah, she was brutal, man. She liked beating up men. She really did.
Now, how well did you get to personally know Sherry and kind of the hard way that she came up in wrestling?
Sherry and I were really close for a long time, man. When she first got in, we hooked up and misbehaved a little bit, but this was back when I was 19 years old. You know, I wasn't even in referee. So I knew her from the get-go. But she came up hard, man. She came up hard. She had a lot behind the scenes going on with her that troubled her a lot. And from her upbringing, you know, I'm just guessing and saying she probably went through a gamut of issues and relationship problems and all sorts of stuff. But didn't mean she wasn't a good person, because she was. She was a good person. But she's gone too, man, and I miss the hell out of her. She was good people to me and my family. And that's all that matters.
Man, it's a lot of us as fans get to kind of hear some of the stuff that she went through, not just in wrestling and how difficult that lifestyle was breaking into wrestling, but also just how she grew up under difficult circumstances. And, you know, I mean, to say that she was a gifted performer, such an understatement. I mean, just gosh, what a talented, talented person. And you and I are going to be talking about Sherry more here as the podcast goes on.
Yep.
From the 321 Observer, although it would only last a week in this position, the largest gate in the United States thus far in 1994 was a AAA show on 312 at the Los Angeles Sports Arena, which drew 13,000 fans and $228,000. The number of fans, which was 3,000 tickets shy of capacity, was slightly less than the sellout the WWF drew in Providence, Rhode Island for Royal Rumble, although with the higher ticket price, the AAA show took in more money live. So you guys are just doing some gangbuster business here. And Jake, you're meeting Conan in the main event with Sherry Martel and Blue Panther in your corner, and Perro Aguayo is with Conan. A lot is happening outside the ring while you and Conan are having a match, including at one point, Sherry is holding Aguayo. Panther charges him with an object. Aguayo moves, and Sherry gets knocked out. It's hilarious because when they put her on a stretcher to remove her, they actually put a sheet over her, like the blow killed her, which is, it sounds like something she would have come up with. It's just really funny. What do you think about having so much action take place outside of the ring, though, while you're working with Conan?
I don't like that stuff, you know, but that's just their style down there. They want to have as much chaos as possible outside the ring to leave openings for the heel to pull stuff and do stuff and distract the referees and all that. I don't need that. I can do that stuff on my own. But that's the way they do it down there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, as I'm watching it back, it looks like a complete clusterfuck, but yeah. there's a pretty incredible moment here that I'm about to show you. Panther continues to interfere in the match, which prompts Mascara Sagrada and his little person partner, Masquerita Sagrada, to come out to the ring, and that brings us to this clip in a pretty wild spot that you're involved in front of a hot LA crowd. I'm actually going to turn down the volume because it's all in Spanish, but I'll narrate for our listening audience. So Jake, you have got Conan here. He's down. You're inside the cage and you've got him hooked for the DDT, but they go to the outside and they're showing the action outside the ring, which is kind of fucking stupid. But you are hitting Conan with that DDT. And now Mascara Sagrada is looking to get even with you. And so is Masquerita. Those guys are starting to look like they're scaling the ring here. Yep, Masquerita's getting ready to come up. Do you remember this by any chance? What's about to happen?
I think I bench press him, don't I?
No, it's a little bit more crazy than that.
Was he diving?
He's gonna dive on you. There he goes. He's having a hard time scaling the cage, but he's doing his best. He's getting up there pretty high. All right, you're up there, and now Mascara is gonna knock you down. There's a great image of that out there where I think he actually threw some Coke in your eyes or something, Coca-Cola, and now you're selling it, laying down. And here we go, the big high spot. Masquerita's at the top of this very high cage. And now he comes on Jake with a splash.
Didn't feel it.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Jake, because one of the things I noticed, and it's actually something that Meltzer commented on in the Observer at the time, was that you didn't really sell it. You kind of got up right away there. And he was actually kind of selling being hurt. And Jake, I know that you don't do anything without a reason. So what prompted you to say, I don't think I'm going to sell this too much?
I can't be selling for him. You know, I mean, I registered it, but the other thing is he didn't hit me with it, man. He landed on his feet first.
Yes.
You know, and it was a glancing blow thing, man. If he'd have landed on me, I'd have sold it.
But yeah.
When he didn't land on me.
That is a very good point. And I'm going to post this online so our listeners can see it. So check us out on social media. But he does touch with his feet first, and then kind of his upper body just flops onto Jake. So, hey, that makes sense.
He scales over me. Hell, anybody watching can see that. If I act like I'm fucking dead, they're going to say, you're a phony fuck. I'm not doing it.
Well, later this month, you'll debut with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which we covered way back on episode 21 of the podcast. So I encourage you guys to go and listen to it. Triple Mania 2 is 3 shows, and you won't be part of the first one, which takes place on April 26th. But you will be there for the second show on May 15th, where yourself, Love Machine, and Miguel Perez Jr. will lose to Conan, Paraguayo, and Cien Caras. Jake, it sounds like one of the craziest things that happened was actually backstage at this. We have this from the May 26th Observer. At 10:45 p.m. on 5:15, Jake Roberts was lying face first on the ground after nearly being choked out by a panicked snake that was wrapped around his neck. Backstage, in an attempt to revive him, backstage hands poured bottles of water all over him. It worked. The other wrestlers were waiting for water, of which there was none in the building, to take showers. The showers never did work. Holy shit, dude. What do you remember about nearly being choked out by a snake?
It did choke me out. I was down and out, man.
Terrifying, dude.
Yeah, that happened a couple of times, man.
So obviously you've had a lot of experience with snakes at this point. Yeah. Like, how do you normally get out of it when one of them starts wrapping themselves on you?
You have to unravel it, man. You have to start at one end and undo it.
Okay.
But what happens is you have them around your neck and they feel comfortable, then all of a sudden you just get you black out. Because they've been squeezing here on the sides, you know, the carotid arteries.
Mm.
They're not choking you. They're just squeezing the sides. And pretty soon you get fucking lightheaded and you go down. Now they cinch up on you. Now that's when they do the kill switch. But no, man, I went down and somebody had to get him off of me to kill me.
Dude, that is petrifying. And. Yeah. I mean, the fact that you could have gotten hurt just falling down, and this thing is slowly tightening its way around you. I mean, is there some kind of a way to do you realize he's starting to do it, or by the time you realize it's too late?
It's too late.
Holy shit. I mean, what's the solution? You hook it over a shoulder and then under the opposite arm?
Underneath his arm.
Yeah, gotta be. God damn.
Get on both sides. If you allow him to get both sides of that carotid artery, you're done.
Dude, glad you're okay, because that, as I was reading that, I was like, my God, that must have been absolutely horrifying. But you said it's happened to you a couple of times, too.
Yeah, it happened that time, and it happened with me in Indianapolis with Steamboat.
Ah, man, it's God bless you for bringing those snakes to the ring. They blow you up on the way there. They're choking you in the back. Good Lord. Well, the final Triple Mania show is set for May 27th, and according to this edition of The Observer, it was already set for you to meet Conan in a hair versus hair match. Meltzer would say whomever loses is expected to receive legit the largest amount anyone has ever received for shaving their head. So we're coming to the big story here involving the hair versus hair match shortly, but before we get there, let's fully set it up. What did you think of the idea when it was first presented to you, Jake?
Well, I was all for it because I gave them a number and they agreed to it. You know, so it cost them quite a bit for my hair. And they agreed to it, but I didn't trust them. You know, I heard some stories where people would get to that match and all of a sudden the money's not there. So I said, the only way I'll do it is that you give me half up front that I can put in the bank in the States. And then the other half you will give to the person that I have there as I get into the ring. So I got this guy, Scotty Riggs, to go to Mexico with me. And he was also along with me to kind of help keep me straight.
Okay.
If you will. And which made my wife very happy. But and he did his job. He kept me pretty tight. But whenever I gave him the money, I told him, I said, you stay in this room. You don't go outside this room. You don't go anywhere. You stay here till I get back. You got it? Got it. Well, lo and behold, I come back and he's not there. So I think automatically, oh my God, they got him. They must have robbed him. So I go and I find him and he's outside in this corral area and he's got some bimbo out there. They've been having a little fun. I chewed his ass, boy. I chewed his, scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
You know, because, man, you're in a different country. You don't know what the hell they got in mind for you. And the amount of money he had on him was more than the Mexican would make in his, you know, in a year. You know, so there you go.
Man, so the figure that's always been bounced around, and you can confirm if you want to, you don't have to, but the total $25,000 in cash that you're getting paid out, would you say over or under?
A little over.
Okay, so 25K is a little bit light. I mean, dude, that is so much money to do this hair versus hair gimmick. I mean, when they ask you to do it, are you aware that, you know, this match is a big enough deal, or is that just what you would charge anybody to shave your head?
I'll charge anybody to shave my head. I'll spit up pubic hair from 1982, man, for $25,000.
had you ever done hair versus hair before anywhere?
No.
Okay, so this is the first. Okay, well, did Pena bulk at all at the figure, or he was just ready to pay it as soon as you offered it up?
Ready to pay it, man.
Okay, we're about to watch the final moments of this situation. Before we do, though, Jake, Jim Cornette has told the story about you trying to leave Tijuana, because, again, you've got tens of thousands of dollars on you, and you're in Tijuana, which is a pretty fun place to be. Did you stop and have any fun, or did you get right out of there?
Right the hell out of there.
That's the only way, right? You go and get on the damn plane and get out of town.
Yep.
Because, like, you don't know if you're going to get robbed by, like, who knows? At this point, Pena had jerked you around a little bit with money, hadn't he?
Yeah, they had.
So, like, you don't know if he's going to send somebody to go and try and maybe recollect the money.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's definitely the right way to go. And, brother, this match, it's in front of the largest gate and possibly the largest crowd ever in Tijuana up to the point. You'll end the night by getting your head shaved. Warlord is there with you as a manager, and he'll accidentally club you with a clothesline intended for Conan. Conan will get the pin. Future American stars La Parca, Psychosis, and a young Rey Mysterio Jr. are going to come out to make sure that justice is served as you attempt to leave. Let's check out our final clip.
My vaya usted a saber.
I'm going to turn it down again just because there's copyrighted music and it's in Spanish. But Jake, they've got you down. A bunch of guys surrounding you. Warlord is at a loss. He can't stop the situation. But getting your head shaved. So what was it like getting these clippers after getting your hair all wet during a match, Jake?
They were ripping hunks of hair out, man.
Oh, God.
Hair was wet. You're trying to run those clippers over it. It sucked.
Electric clippers, whether they're sharp or not, if you've got wet hair, it's not going to shear. It's gonna pull.
Yeah. And that's what was happening, man. They'd try to run it across there and it'd go about 2 inches a minute, just clog up.
Not to mention, you've already bladed at this point in the match. So you've got a fresh wound on your head and they're just running this thing over your head, tearing out hair, probably getting that wound a little bit wider. It's just, oh, miserable, dude.
Yep.
Well, they're all surrounding you, including young Ray Ray. And you're selling it great, Jake. The expressions on your face for this whole thing, you're giving them their money's worth. And, you know, you're picking up your hair, and it's a very dramatic moment for you. The snake's in there. Just, man, really good stuff. You're holding some clumps of hair. Ray's going to take them and throw them down on your snake. And that will wrap that up. So, Jake, got your head shaved there in Mexico, and you get to leave with a nice chunk of change in your pocket.
Yep, sure did.
Man, what an absolute fun blast over these two episodes to look back at your time in AAA. And you'll work a couple more times there this year, and even work in an Enemy Becomes Partners match where you'll team up with Conan, which is pretty weird. But overall, Jake, when you look back at your time working in AAA, do you look back fondly or not so much?
Not so much.
Why is that?
It was just the hassle of travel down there and the games that they played with you. You know, your money wouldn't be right. And, you know, you just didn't feel safe. I never did feel safe down there.
I can't imagine the stress of it all with first being jerked around on money. And then you're going into, you know, Tijuana is a pretty dangerous city and you have to go in there pretty routinely and you're getting handed cash. And man, I'm sure that you were just glad when this night was over and you were headed back.
Sure as hell was, man.
Well, look, I'm going to be glad to welcome you guys next week. Jake and I are trying to organize schedules, and it's looking like everything's going to be fine as far as that's concerned. We are looking to capitalize on the recent Dark Side of the Ring episode, which would have aired yesterday as we're recording this. Jake, I'd like to talk to you next week about March of 1991 when Earthquake squashed Damien. You game to chat us up about it?
That'd be great.
We'll have some fun then. And thanks, brother. That's going to wrap us up.
Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, you know the drill. If you're looking to attract that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic to your product or service, you have got to get over to advertisewithsnake.com. Jake is still a household name. He's back with AEW. He's all over the place. He's shaking hands. He's going to these conventions. And fans listen when Jake talks. If you need evidence of what we do here on the show works, just listen to our show. We are always advertising for the same businesses because they know that what we do here works. Head over to advertisewithsnake.com. Why don't you get teamed up? Make Jake the Snake Roberts your tag team partner today. Go now and check out jakethesnakeshop.com for rare signed collectibles straight from the master of the DDT. We're talking about autographed figures, shirts, 8x10s. There's so much over there. How about the official, original Jake Roberts t-shirts that are available? They're there right now, approved and designed by the man himself. And you want to know the best part? You have the option to get them signed or leave them unsigned. It's completely up to you. There's something for every wrestling fan there, and you've just got to see it for yourself. Again, it's jakethesnakeshop.com. Get over to Cameo. It's cameo.com/jakesnake for a personal message from the legendary Jake Roberts. Here's a recent review from Anonymous. This was the best decision of my life. Perfection. Thanks, Jake. It's your turn to go make a great decision. Jake delivers on cameos like nobody else, and you are sure to cherish this one for years and years. Again, it's cameo.com/jakesnake. Get over there and order yours. get over to the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com and check out some of the amazing merch we have available for the show. It's not just a great way to support our podcast, but we also are very tuned into the fashion that wrestling fans of the 80s and 90s might be attracted to. That's you guys. That's me. And that's the fashion that we're trying to capture over there. We recently added a new shirt featuring the greatest power couple in wrestling history, Jake and Cheryl. I believe this is the only shirt with Cheryl in existence, and it's a great one. Seriously, just go have a look. You're going to love the style we have on our page. Again, it's the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. Check us out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@snakepitpod for short clips of the show, some highlights, and some exclusive content. Jake and I are very, very fast approaching that 30,000 subscriber mark, and as we get closer, we're going to celebrate with a giveaway. Do not miss your chance to own a signed figure, a card, an 8x10, or who knows what awesome collectible straight from Jake. Also, we do YouTube exclusive episodes, clips you won't hear on the podcast, and so much more there. Do us a big favor, get subscribed, start enjoying everything that the Snake Pit has to offer on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, some folks haven't heard about it. I see the questions online, so let me add a reminder that Jim Duggan and I used to have a show on adfreeshows.com called The Hacksaw Hour, but that show has now moved exclusively to YouTube. Jim and I wanted to branch out. We wanted to expose the show to more folks, and this is the route that we decided to take. Now listen, the first 8 episodes are available only on AFS, but there are 4 new episodes on YouTube right now. And every episode moving forward is going to be exclusively on that channel. Also, that channel belongs to Ted DiBiase. And we do a podcast called Everybody's Got a Pod. And man, let me tell you, both shows have been absolutely unbelievable. Such valuable insight from two very legendary figures who've both been in wrestling for many, many, many years. If you like what Jake and I do here, you're going to love it. Go and get subscribed and get caught up on both shows. YouTube.com/@everybodysgotapod. Hear some amazing stories from both men. Get exclusive clips and even enjoy video straight from Jim himself as he documents his travels, his home, his collection of wrestling memorabilia, and much more. Again, one more time is YouTube.com/@everybodysgotapod. Also, if you've enjoyed the Snake Pit, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on all platforms. Only takes you a couple minutes and does Jake and I a massive favor. So please take the time, open up that podcast app, give us a 5-star review and a nice little review. And that goes a long way to help Jake and I. Just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all the other shows in our network early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. And guess what? Starts at just $9 per month. The Sandman just started an exclusive AFS show called Enter Sandman. Our buddy David Crockett is over there with Conrad going over old JCP booking logs month by month in a series called The Book. Let me say, if you're a Four Horsemen fan or a fan of the old days of JCP, that one is going to be must-hear. My buddy Paul Bromwell is there with Kevin Sullivan every Tuesday with The Taskmaster. Lex Luger does a monthly series called Lex Express. Guys, there's just so much over there. If you're a wrestling fan, if you love wrestling podcasts and you're hungry for more content, buddy, it is over there. You are missing out by not being a member. Get over there, sign up, and I can guarantee you're going to love being part of that community. Again, it's adfreeshows.com. You can catch Jake on X at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. You can follow me at Marcus P. D'Angelo on X, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Gosh, what an awesome look back to Jake's time in Mexico. It's 20 years ago now, which is crazy. And it's such an, again, it's another unexplored period of time in Jake's career that we decided to break down. We're going to keep doing that here on the show. I'm looking forward to bringing you guys more content with Jake, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week right here on The Snake Pit.